Masechet Ohalot, Perek Yud Beit, Mishnah Dalet. Wow. Okay, moving on now with the question of various situations of things that are kalim and that may in fact spread or may be supported by kalim and therefore lose their case of there being a proper mechitza lifnei haktuma. Let us discuss a rather poorly constructed multi-story home. So, in this case, we made the baby's nursery directly above the living room. And the baby has got a cradle. And this cradle, as you may have noticed with many babies, especially the hyperactive babies, that shake their cradle. And sometimes they shake their cradle straight through the floor. So one of our kids actually used to do that. So what do you do in that case? Well, you take a really big piece of some protecting material, maybe a metallic material, put it around the legs of the cradle so that they don't get completely worn away by all of the shaking. And you do this, of course, to protect the legs against any liquid on the floor and so on. So what happens, that's called a sandal, right? So they use that in modern Hebrew as well. When you put a device around a wheel of a car that's parked illegally, it's called sandaling it, right? You put a sandal on the wheel. Now it can't move, okay. So you put a sandal on the baby's crib. Try to get that baby calmed down a little bit. What happened is that eventually you now look up from your living room floor and guess what you see? You see a hole in the floor that's covered with the shiny metal piece, which is the sandal of the baby's cradle. Okay, so now, assuming that he's eaten his way all the way through a potech tefach, so now he's created what is essentially an opening that is mavir tuma between your living room and between the upper story and the baby's nursery. So im sandal shel arisa, it's managed to eat its way through all the way into your living room. So this proves, by the way, that there were obviously ADHD problems at the time of the Mishnah. And this is not, as people claim, entirely a modern question, right? So im yesh poteach tefach, so if the hole that's open between the living room and the nursery is a poteach tefach, and now you have a mace downstairs, everything will be tameh because it's going to go straight through that hole. But even it doesn't matter if there's a sandal in the way. But imlav monim bo kiderach shemonim bameit. But if it's not, so then what happens? If it's not a poteach tefach, so then that means that the tuma will not be able to be one ohel together with the baby's nursery, right? However, the sandal is still going to be mekabel tuma, because even if it can't make it into an ohel, it's still going to be touching. If it's underneath it, it's going to be touching through radiation and will affect the sandal. Now, the sandal, what we're going to do is we're going to be monin. We're going to go through the attenuation process from aviavota tuma to aviatuma to rishon the tuma and so on. So we want to know, must we throw the baby out with the bathwater in the mikveh, or can we keep the baby and the baby has been mekabel tuma? This is the question. So monim bo kederach shemonim bemeit. So then that means the tuma first goes to the sandal, and then the sandal goes to the arisa, and then the arisa goes to the baby. Okay, so now the sandal, being as it's made out of metal, what's going to be its halacha? It's going to be an avi avota tuma because of the fact that halal harehu kecherev. And in this case, the cherev is the sandal. Okay, then that is obviously going to be able to be metameh the crib. And the crib makes the crib an avatuma. But an avatuma can be metameh the baby. And therefore, the baby is now a rishon latuma. This baby is going to be getting a bath very soon. Now, let's talk about, in our next Mishnah, yes, sir.
We have such metal legs from the time of the second base of Mikdash, beautifully made to metal legs for the table in their Roman quarter, and the remains there on display.
That was a tricky statement, Rabbi Barnea. You managed to mess it all up by adding for the table at the end and made us think that we really discovered the baby's nursery. Razea risotenu. Is that called razea?
Pull your leg.
Okay. Our next Mishnah also is talking about a two-story home. In this case, it is currently under construction. Therefore, there is no floor and there is no roof. But there's a frame. And the frame consists, of course, of these beams, 2x4s. And now you've got a upper layer, which would have been the ceiling of the second floor and the roof. And you've got the lower layer, which is now the floor of the second story and the roof over the first story. And the question is, what would be the din of the a mace that is under, in this case we're talking about a kezias of a mace, it doesn't extend between the area between the boards. So now we'd like to know whether we can view this entire area as one ohel. What exactly is the din? So let's first consider korot habayit va'ahaliah she'en aleihem ma'azivah. There's no plaster, there's no plaster board, there's just a simple frame. And now, if they are mechuvanot, so now the frame is completely aligned, everything is straight, you've got one board, one 2x4 is directly above the next 2x4. These guys were very careful builder. And if there's tuma underneath one of the lower ones, so then that would mean that that area is its own separate ohel. And if there's something else that's underneath the same korah, if assuming that it's a 2x4, so it's a tefach wide, it will become tame because it's a real ohel over the miktsas of the mace, because I've been on mace, and over whatever kli was underneath it. How about if there is a piece of a mace that's on top of that 2x4, which means that by definition it's now underneath the 2x4 that would be the roof of the house ultimately? So then only the area between them is tame, right? Because since it's a kosher ohel, it's part of a house, it's a real classic ohel, a tefach wide, it prevents tuma from going down, but if there's tuma that's on that board, on that 2x4, and there's also a glass on the 2x4, so then that entire area is going to be filled up with tuma, and everything will become tame. If you have a kezias ben amet that's on top of that one, so it's now on what is destined to become the roof of the house, so then it radiates directly up because there's nothing to stop the radiation. So kenegdo ad harakia tame, but anything underneath it is immediately stopped by the mechitza. But how about if what you have is a staggered construction in which the elyonot are dafka put between the tachtonot? So that means we have a tefach. If we're standing on the lower story, then we have empty space. But then if we look up in that empty space, we see, oh, looky, looky. Right above this empty space, there's a korah on the upper story. So then they are mechuvanot kibein hatachtonot. So they specifically fill that area. And the widths are equal. So in other words, we stagger it, tefach, tefach empty, but tefach above, tefach below, tefach above, and so on and so forth. So then the halacha is that if they are kebena tachtonot, then if there's tuma under any of these beams, they are all one ohel. Because we consider, again, the idea of chavot rami that we've had before, that when something fits into a space, and it is also an oh, we can push it down, push it up, that we view this as one solid surface, and therefore it is an ohel. If, however, there is a kezias min habayis on top of any of them, it doesn't matter whether we're talking about the lower beam or the upper beam, because it's all one thing, then it radiates all the way up, kinegdo ad harakia tameh, but it cannot radiate downwards, of course. In the next Mishnah, Mishnah Vav, how about if you have tum akora? So now let's just talk about a single beam. And it goes between two walls. I did, Barney. You have to look. You can't just wave. So if you have a beam that is going between one kotel and the next, and you have a kezayis minamit underneath it. So now let me just make it very clear that obviously it's got to be a poteach tefach in order for it to be an oil. Sorry. So im yesh ba poteach tefach. So if it's a tefach, then obviously it's a kosher oel and it's meviyat atuma tachat kula. So then it will bring the tuma all along the beam. And that would mean if it's less than a tefach wide, then that would mean, if we're saying all along the beam, that this is, even if there's maybe part of it that may be less than a tefach wide, the din is over here that this is called shipu'ei ohalim. And what the Mishnah is adding is the halacha that the entire beam is able to be mevi tuma tachtav. We'll talk about this tomorrow. Unfortunately, we're running out of time here. The imlav, but if it's not a tefach wide, meaning nowhere is it a tefach wide, so then the tuma goes directly through it. And the tuma will continue to go straight up to the sky, and it's bokah viola, and if there's something on top of it, it will be bokah vioredet, and it will go down all the way to wherever, because there's nothing that is going to prevent it from going that is chotzitz bifnei atuma. How do we measure this? Assuming that it's not just a flat board, maybe it's a round post, or maybe it's a square. So we're measuring, well, the way we measure it is the same way we measure anything else, la halacha. We rely on pi being 3. And therefore, take the circumference and divide it by 3. So kam yehebe kefa v'yeba poteach tefach, bizmanchi agula, assuming we've got a cylinder shape pole that is the beam over here, then if hakefa is shlosha tvachim, then we know that since we view pi as being 3 la halacha, that would be enough to be maybe hatuma. If it's a post and all you have available is the circumference, so to speak, in other words, the measurement of the entire beam. So if it's mirubat, if the perimeter of the square is 4 tvachim, then you know that you have a tefach. The rule of the interrelationship is a perimeter of a mirubah is greater by 1/4 of the total, obviously, 1/4 of the total than the circle. So in other words, we add 4, the relationship of 3 to 4. So when it comes over there, I understand that you're upset, but the bottom line is that only if you're going to measure a real 4. And that's goof of the point, that even though this same beam that is currently a cylinder, had I made something around it to turn it into a post, it would not have been 4 in its perimeter, obviously, because pi is not 3. It doesn't matter. And if it really were a square, it also doesn't matter, because you would have no right to say, well, I mean, why should I need to have 4? After all, I was able to pretend that pi was 3 and it was a tefach even when it wasn't a tefach. So why can't I do that by reducing my post to a cylinder virtually? You can't. So the idea is that even though the two shiurim are sosar each other, it is the way that the halacha is given to apply, which we learned out from the pasuk, and therefore if it's a square, meaning it's a post, you treat it as if it's flat. That's obviously the point, because otherwise it's a little ridiculous to measure the perimeter of the post when all you need to do is measure one side. Like, what am I doing? But that's the point. We're trying to show you the interrelationship of perimeter to circumference. Okay, Rabosai, we'll get back into the din of shipu'ei ohalim bezrat Hashem tomorrow. Kol tov, and thank you very much.